Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Monsanto getting cometh. But first, World War III is in the news everywhere, as a senior NATO official claims we'll be at war by summer. This comes from an article posted to globalresearch.ca last week. Former NSA intel analyst John Schindler posted a tweet with a statement that you can only assume was meant about Russia, where Schindler said, quote, said a senior NATO, non-US, GOFO to me today, we'll probably be at war this summer. If we're lucky, it won't be nuclear. Let that sink in, Schindler noted. And then I did Google, I think GOFO is a general officer, a flag officer, but that notwithstanding, who's John Schindler? He's a 10-year vet of the NSA. He was in the news when Snowden was in the news. He used to be a professor at the U.S. Naval War College and is also a contributor to Business Insider. According to his bio, he used to teach classes on security, strategy, intel, and terrorism, and he has, quote, collaborated closely with other government agencies who would probably prefer he didn't mention them, end quote. So it's safe to say that Schindler probably brushes shoulders with high-ranking officials from time to time, so he should be taken seriously. So it's frightening to think that members of NATO may actually be preparing for and expecting a war with Russia this summer, but it's not actually all that surprising. Given some of the activity we are seeing around the world, it's safe to assume that superpowers like the U.S., Russia, and China are preparing for something big. So as this article from Global Research notes, it sets the stage for the other things we're seeing around the world. Value Walk has an interesting note that Soros says China is a major risk for World War III. Soros was speaking at a Bretton Woods conference at the World Bank back on May 19th and said that much in global geopolitics depends on the health and trajectory of the Chinese economy, saying that if China's efforts to move to a domestic demand-driven economy break down, there is a likelihood that China's government would create external conflict to band the country together to maintain their power. Of course, no other countries around the world do that. Meanwhile, The Telegraph is reporting Russia and NATO launch rival war games, a mass surprise drill war games in response to NATO exercises after Deputy Prime Minister jokes that our tanks don't need visas. So, James, we have more news about Russia and China in these joint naval exercises in the Mediterranean, and we're seeing the rhetoric. It all gets ratcheted up. U.S.-China war inevitable unless Washington drops demands over South China Sea. And even Slate.com, they have a recurring column where you ask a question. And the most recent featured question was, if Africa, Asia, and Europe declared war on the U.S., who would win? So, James, that seems to be the burning meme question. When's World War III?
I don't think it's coming this summer. I certainly hope it isn't, and I hope I'm correct about that. But there is an interesting confluence of events and stories here that do show that at any rate we are being prepped for this, in the same way that the public was prepped and ready for World War I for years prior to that conflict. Everyone knew something was coming, they just didn't know exactly when, where, or how, and I think we are being prepped for a coming conflict, a world conflagration of sorts, and that's very worrying, and we should be keeping our eye on these various stories to get an outline of what that conflict is going to look like. And I think we all see the general outline that's coming into view here of China and Russia and various other countries versus the NATO powers, and the B-52s being moved into striking distance of Moscow, and the Spratly Island dispute now in the South China Sea. It's very worrying stuff. But people who follow the Corbett Report will know my take on the 2D chess versus 3D chess geopolitics, and how at the top, the oligarchies really all come together and are really working towards the same globalist agenda. Having said that, that doesn't mean that I don't think there will be a conflict. I think there will be a conflict, in the same way that I think there were a lot of oligarchies at the top working towards the engineering of World War I, working towards the engineering of World War II, and now working towards the engineering of World War III. So I think it will involve real war with real people dying in massive quantities in order to justify the next stage of the evolution of world government. So we have to confront this developing agenda with everything we have at our disposal. I think perhaps a story that, if anything, calms me somewhat in terms of the growing tensions between China and the U.S. This story from Quartz.com, other publications covering it, the IMF has just come out to say that China's yuan is no longer undervalued. And people, again, who have been following my work will know the significance of this. China is angling to get into the IMF's special drawing rights basket in the upcoming special drawing rights basket five-year review that's coming up later this year. The IMF has just basically said the yuan has just passed a major hurdle that kept it out of that basket last time. So another sign that China's yuan is going to be further ensconced in the coming global world order. And another interesting opinion article from MarketWatch.com, global assets could shift toward China if IMF includes renminbi. So yes, of course, this is again exactly what I've been talking about, how we are being engineered into the China-led new world order, the next stage of this. And I think that puts a bit of a damper on the World War III now type of talk. I think at any rate, at the very least, they're going to try to shift this till after the SDR basket and more of those economic developments start to come to fruition. I don't think they want to push the war ahead of that, and I don't think China would be militarily even anywhere near to approaching a military conflict, all-out military conflict with the U.S. right now. So I don't buy into the rhetoric it's coming this summer or anything of that sort. But having said that, there are a lot of really worrying stories that, again, I think show we are being steered toward a World War III scenario.
And I think in a lot of ways we've covered some of the different scenarios in these last few months and weeks leading to just the general hype of, oh, there's going to be chaos in America. Oh, there's going to be, you know, riots this summer. Jade Helm and Marshall, all of these things. It ratchets it up in people's minds. So it makes it, as you kind of know, it's like a foregone conclusion. So when it actually pops off, you go, oh, well, yeah. And it's not, strangely enough, it's not that big a deal, which is insane, James. I think we should then move now to our second story this week. As we noted at the top, Monsanto getting cometh. Monsanto bids to take over Syngenta, a move to assure a pesticide-saturated future, perhaps. An article posted to Mercola has the main bullet points of this situation, James. Monsanto recently made a bid to take over Syngenta, the world's largest pesticide producer. The $45.1 billion bid was rejected, but there's, of course, always still a chance for a merger. By trying to acquire Syngenta, Monsanto kind of contradicts their years of rhetoric about how their ultimate goal is to help farmers use less agrochemicals. So why would you want to buy up the... We know why. It's because they don't work, because their rhetoric actually doesn't even hold true. But it's worth noting more than 25 farm worker, environmental, and food safety organizations demand the USDA investigate reports of retaliation and suppression of research relating to the dangers of neonicotinoids and glyphosate. So another one, Monsanto soon to receive 30 European patents on food plants. And I'm also seeing research, James, that study shows organic honey contaminated with glyphosate, which means we're in an even worse shape than we thought we were, and or there's a lot of organic fakery going on. But it's not all bad, James. I will get a little bit of good note. But Monsanto getting cometh, I think it's also worth noting, actually, last weekend was the third annual March Against Monsanto, James.
That's right. Third annual March Against Monsanto. It should be an annual event. It should be even more than annual. It should be a daily event that we participate in by boycotting their products in every way possible for us to do so. And hopefully by trying to get more transparency into the food that we're eating. And the best way to do that is to control our food supply by growing it ourselves and dealing with local farmers and the like. But anyway, but yes, a very, very important story. One thing we should do is update that Syngenta story. The latest is that Monsanto made the $45 billion bid for Syngenta. It was rejected. And now Monsanto is saying, well, if we bought it, we would divest the seed business. We would divest the genetic traits section of Syngenta and some other overlapping chemical divisions of Syngenta. So they're trying to say, don't worry, regulators. Look, we won't combine into the mega complete consolidation of control of the entire economy. And interestingly, now the Bayer CEO is coming out and saying, I won't comment whether we're interested in buying up those pieces of the Syngenta pie if Monsanto starts trying to divest it. So there are some interesting developments there. It's still very much up in the air. And hopefully this won't come to fruition at all. Pun intended, I guess. But a very, very important story. Monsanto soon to receive 30 European patents on food plants. I hope people will look into this story because the takeaway of it is that the patents are being given, in this case, or expected to be given by the European Patent Office to plants that were made from conventional breeding techniques. These are not genetically modified plants in any way. These are conventionally bred plants, and they're going to grant patents on them. And that is, as far as I know, that is an unprecedented step forward in patent law, because I know that back in the 1980 Diamond v. Chakrabarty in the U.S., they granted the ability to patent life forms that had been created. So in that case, it was, I think, a type of bacteria that ate oil. It was like a genetically created bacteria. But these are conventionally bred plants that they're going to give patents for. This is a dangerous step forward. So my thanks to the listener who brought this story to my attention. And I hope some Europeans in the crowd will take up the torch here and look more into this story, because I think, again, this is very worrying if we start patenting not only the genetically modified monstrosities, but conventionally bred plants. We're moving into very dangerous territories in terms of monopolization of the food supply, one of the most important issues that can possibly affect humanity.
But it's not all bad, as I noted, James. Monsanto's royalties are under fire in Argentina. The Buenos Aires Herald reports the national government decided to step into a long-term battle between farmers and Monsanto over royalties the U.S. company collects for genetically modified soybeans. In a lot of ways, James, it's almost like usury. It's getting that money again and again and again off of something that fundamentally is immoral in a lot of ways. So, as we've noted, it's not all bad. We will continue our mission all through 2015 to bring you good news on these New World Next Week episodes. And this is, I should make the note, New World Next Week, episode 230. So, for our good news segment here at the end, FEC backs off plan to regulate the internet. That's the Federal Election Commission's. So, this from CanadaFreePress.com, interestingly enough, noting the internet isn't totally out of the woods yet, but this is something positive. The FCC does still intend to regulate the internet like it's a 1930s telephone company, meaning ObamaNet continues to loom over everyone. But at least the FEC is backing off for now on a plan to squash free speech by demanding that everyone who uses the internet to express political opinions file spending reports with the federal government. And the best news is that it was public pressure that forced the Democrat commissioners to back down. Now, James, we actually have the PDF link for this proposal from the FEC, and I know this is good news for a free web, but it shows in some ways the hypocrisy of these selectively enforced laws, and free speech ain't free, as they say. What do you think?
Well, exactly right, that this was necessary at all, that any sort of public push was necessary to stop them from regulating political speech on the internet, I guess is a sad sign in and of itself. And certainly for the cynics in the crowd, we are not saying that the internet is out of the woods, that everything's peachy keen now. But I think that the positive aspect of this story is that the FEC was forced into the corner and now has gone on the record with this proposal to say, I further move that the commission direct OGC to exclude from the rulemaking any proposal affecting political activity on the internet. That's a pretty broad statement that, again, was brought about because of public pressure, because it is not yet politically viable for them to regulate free speech, political speech on the internet. I'm sure at that point at which it becomes politically viable, it will happen, whether or not it's a Democrat or a Republican on that FEC chairmanship. It's going to happen at that point. But at this point, it is still not politically viable. Let's make sure to ensure that it does not become politically viable at any point by not falling for whatever cyber false flag event they have stored to demonize political speech on the internet.
James, there were some stories also floating around, and this had Cassie and I kind of talking about. There was a story about a guy who takes kind of screen grabs of Instagram photos and paints them, a la, in some ways, like Andy Warhol. And he's making a ton of money now, and it brings, hey, wait, that's my picture. And it's funny because no, it's Instagram's picture as soon as you upload it. But you see it heading to the point where if everyone's going to start to battle and fight over all their intellectual property and all their little copyright things, it can only lead to, well, I guess we all need an internet ID so I know that, yeah, that's my picture, I own that. And how can that happen? We know there's only one way that it'll happen, and it's what you and I've been talking about for years now, and that's the I-9/11 event, and the I-Patriot Act is sitting on the shelf waiting to go. So while we can, we will still use this free and open web and open source intelligence to spread news via these episodes. So in a couple of other good news notes, James, Nebraska, the first conservative state in 40 years to repeal the death penalty. I know that made our buddy Lionel happy. Fresh food movement sweeping the nation. An interesting article just out of a local Utah paper. And after Senate fails to extend the Patriot Act, NSA actually alleges to begin the shutdown of their bulk spying program. We made reference to that last week. Senate failed to extend it, so legally they have to start rolling this back, at least in some sort of public window dressing kind of way. And who's involved in a lot of this? Obama, and even the Washington Post is reporting his legacy increasingly in legal jeopardy. Same-sex marriage, Obamacare, climate change, and now immigration. And in many cases, there is significant doubt about whether his signature initiatives, because you put signature in quotes, will stand legal scrutiny. So, James, those are some of our hashtag good news next week notes. And actually, it did happen. So I will make a good news announcement and a flagrant grab for views on YouTube. Member of the family. This is Frankie, and she's the cutest kitty, and it reminds you sort of the simple joys of life, and animals are a huge part of that. So that's been fun, and that's been a nice little addition to the family. So
awesome. Congratulations. She really is adorable. So yeah, absolutely great. And that's one of the little joys in life that we should be celebrating more often, I think. And may I just throw in another good news story and perhaps a good transition to New World Next Week updates, the story that we've been following for a while, McDonald's plummeting off the face of the universe. McDonald's is now losing so much money, it's stopping telling us how much it's losing. Basically, they're going to stop reporting same store sales month to month because they just don't want to show how badly they're bleeding the red ink right now.
I also saw reports this week that Taco Bell and Pizza Hut, which are owned by the same corporation, are going to remove artificial flavors from all their foods. And you and I were joking off mic earlier, the Taco Bell in my neighborhood went out of business a couple of months ago. The building is gone. It's an amazing sight to sort of see. So those are our good news next week notes, James. And we, of course, encourage people to tweet those and send them to us. Hashtag good news next week. And our hashtag New World Next Week updates, stories that a lot of our great, you know, I don't even want to say, you know, fans or audiences, that diminishes a lot of it. They're a part of this work that we do, and we couldn't do this if the amazing tweeters and researchers and people out there didn't do it. Like our best folks like G.J. Salisbury and Dazzalt Theory and our man Brock West and others. So we appreciate those big time. Pentagon accidentally sent live anthrax samples to labs via FedEx. That story just coming out in the last day. And Blair's jumping ship, so might be a scandal about to break. Tony Blair resigns as Middle East peace envoy, which made for lots of jokes about, oh, maybe he'll get a job at FIFA next. As the FIFAgate scandal explodes, football heads charged with fraud and corruption. And James, it is worth noting FIFAgate has connections to Nike and the sports industrial complex, plus the Clinton Foundation, too. So at Daz Alt Theory in the UK is all over this story, and I think he summed it up best by noting the FBI is going after FIFA, but haven't done anything about Wall Street since September 2008. And on a side note, James, there's a trailer for the new Point Break remake movie, people are buzzing about it today. The trailer was just released. The trailer contains a line, believe it or not, this awesome line of dialogue, quote, "I believe that, like me, the people behind these robberies are extreme athletes using their skills to disrupt the international financial markets, and they don't care who gets killed in the process." Well, a hilarious bit of synchronicity and commentary, I think, in the media world. But this all stinks of another stupid sports ball distraction in the U.S. kind of throwing its weight around because maybe the checks must have stopped coming. You're allowed to be corrupt, but, you know, you got to pay the piper. So copyright law that benefits Western media conglomerates and all of those sorts of things. This is, I think, another interesting example, James. And as I noted at the top of the show, hashtag American Spring is in the air. Long-running punk band Anti-Flag ready their timely new album called American Spring as the hype continues for a sort of summer of chaos. James, there's a bunch of other interesting stories, like the one about the Pentagon's own report that details its creation of ISIS, or using DNA to shame litterbugs in China, and even the new Planet Earth flag. But we'll leave that where it is and invite people to follow and contribute to hashtag New World next week and to continue to support independent commercial-free media like this. James.
We have just covered so many stories, my mind is spinning. I hope that people will check into the show notes. Always a copious amount of information down there, so please check into these stories and do some more research. Report back to headquarters with your findings. And thank you all to everyone who sends in story ideas through our contact forms or through Twitter. They are appreciated. On that note, from me, Pilato, and the cat, we'll talk to you next week.